Again, our scripture reading is Jude, the third verse, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints.
We have been dealing on these Sunday evenings with some very simple and fundamental things, things that should remind us how thankful we should be to be members of the Church of Christ. And certainly I am glad that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and even more specifically, I'm glad I'm a member of this Church of Christ, of the Brown Street Church of Christ. And the reason for that is because faithful churches of Christ rely on and trust in the Word of God. And therefore, the things that we practice, the things that we teach, the things that we preach are things that we can prove by the Word of God. And that is not always the case with denominational churches. And one of the reasons why we decided to preach these series of lessons, if that's what you want to call this, a series of lessons, really, there's no real tie and connection to these sermons, but the reason we decided to preach on these kinds of simple things is because we don't want anyone in the Church of Christ to ever, ever leave the faith. And yet, sadly, we do see that happening from time to time. We have experienced that here at Brown Street. And every local congregation that has been in existence for any period of time at all has suffered individuals leaving the church and either simply not worshiping God anywhere or sometimes even going to a denominational church. We don't want that to happen. I'm not naive enough to think that just because I preach this series of lessons that's never, ever going to happen again. That is certainly my hope. I can hope that, but probably that won't come to fruition. Probably we will lose some to the world, and probably we will lose some to denominational churches in the future. But we want to cut back with regard to that. We want that to happen as little as possible. And so I'm just trying to remind us of some things that we should know the Bible teaches, and we should be glad that we're a part of a church that teaches what the Bible teaches. So we have talked about God's plan of salvation, and we have talked about the organization of the church, and we have talked about Bible authority and how it is established, and we've talked about the Holy Spirit some, and about miracles and the fact that they have ceased. We even talked, I think, last time about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and who it was promised to and with whom it was fulfilled. And we talked about the Word of God previous to that, and the fact that the Word of God is our final standard of authority. And now tonight I want to go back to the Word of God, and I want to emphasize just for a little while tonight that I'm glad that I'm a member of a church wherein we do not teach that somehow the preacher or any member in this local church is inspired by God and that God somehow speaks through and by us, separate and apart from the Word of God. There are a lot of people in the religious world today who accept this notion that their preacher, when he gets up and preaches, that God is speaking directly, separate and apart from the Word of God through him. In other words, he comes up with new revelation. And so a preacher might get up and say, well, God told me to tell you this, or God told me to tell you that. And because individuals give into that, because they believe that God is still speaking to men separate and apart from the Word of God, they end up being at the mercy of that preacher, that man, or sometimes today that woman, who claims that God is giving him or her some new message. They're at the mercy to listen to that once they subscribe to the notion that God is still in the business of speaking to people apart from the written word. Well, I'm glad I'm not a part of that. And I'm glad I'm not a part of that, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible instead teaches the very opposite. The Bible teaches us that God today speaks to us through the Bible and through the Bible alone. Let's establish that. First of all, turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews, the first chapter, and beginning at verse 1, you'll remember this familiar passage of Scripture. The Hebrews writer says, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now, we emphasize there in Hebrews 1 at verse 1 that God spoke. And we are thankful that God has spoken. And in times past, of course, he would speak, as the Hebrew writer points out here, he would speak in many different ways, through many different avenues, through prophets. And we know that he spoke through dreams and through visions and that sort of thing. But that was in the past. Verse 2 says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so God has spoken. But now today he speaks through his Son. We know that, of course, to be Jesus Christ. But then the question is, how does Jesus speak to us? Well, now turn over to John chapter 17. John the 17th chapter. And we don't have to guess about what Jesus did with those words that the Father gave to him, because he tells us. In John chapter 17, and notice if you would at verse 8. John 17 and at verse 8, Jesus says, and he is speaking, of course, to his apostles. He's in the upper room here. And at verse 8, it says, for I have given them, he is praying to the Father here in John 7, of course. He says, for I have given them, that is the apostles, the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. And so here is Jesus again in prayer to the Father, speaking about what he did with the words that the Father gave to him. I have given unto them, the apostles, the words that you gave to me. So God speaks. And he speaks through and by his Son. And now the question is, what did the Son do? The Son gave those words to the apostles. Now, one of the things that we usually point out here is that he didn't directly give everything to the apostles that the Father had spoken, because they couldn't handle it at that time. They certainly could not remember, even if Jesus would have told them everything. There's no way they could have remembered everything that he said. As it is, they couldn't remember what he did tell them completely and totally. And so he gave them the Holy Spirit to guide them. And so, drop back over to chapter 14. And chapter 14, and at verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And that, by the way, is pointing at least in part to inspiration. But then down at verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see how the Holy Spirit would help? That's why he is called the Helper here. He would help them to remember. Then in John chapter 15 and at verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And then finally, in John 16 and at verse 13, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, one of the key points here in verse 16 is that this helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would guide the apostles not into some truth, not into the majority of truth or most truth, but they would be guided unto all truth. And if that's the case, how much truth is there left for folks to be guided unto today? And the answer, of course, is none. The apostles were guided into all truth. Everything God wanted them to know and to share with other people. We're not talking about biology. We're not talking about history and the truth with regard to those kind of things. But we're talking about the will of God. Everything God wanted man to know about his will. Everything that we need to know about salvation, everything we need to know about worshiping God, everything we need to know about the work he wants us to do, everything about the church, everything that's a part of God's will was revealed to the apostles. There isn't anything left for anyone else to receive. When the preacher gets up and says, well, God wanted me to tell you this or tell you that, you know he's not telling you the truth, because everything that God wants me to tell you is right here in this book we call the Bible. That's why, by the way, it's our final standard of authority, as we talked about before in a previous lesson. It's because it's only through the Word of God that God speaks today. Notice what the apostles did then. So, what do we have? We have the Father speaking. God has spoken. In these last days, he has spoken by and through his Son. His Son speaks by and through the apostles, who are inspired because they have been given the Comforter or the Helper or the Holy Spirit. But what did they do with those words? Well, first of all, they did some preaching. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if we would begin reading, we won't do this just to save some time, but if you start reading at verse 6, all the way to the end of the chapter, that whole section has to do with inspiration. But let's save some time and let's just drop down a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll pick up at about verse 11. It says, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, in other words, now we understand that, don't we? I mean, that's easy to comprehend, that we don't know what's on the mind of God unless he tells us. Just like you don't know tonight what's on my mind unless I tell you. I have often just illustrated by asking, can you tell me right now what's on my mind? No, you can guess, and I wouldn't do this, but if you were to get it right, I could lie, and you wouldn't know the difference, would you? Now, again, I wouldn't lie. I'd just tell you, you're right, but it would be a lucky guess, even if you guessed. But the point of it is, you would have to guess. You can't really know, and the only way you can know what I'm thinking right now or at any time is if I reveal it to you. I have to tell you what I'm thinking, because you can't read my mind, and we can't read God's mind either. And so the only way we know God's mind, the only way we know what God wants for us is if he tells us. And that's what this chapter is all about. God has told us. How has he told us? He has revealed it to the apostles. And then the apostles did some preaching. Notice at verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And so they did some preaching. They did some teaching. And one of the things we learn from this great passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is that the very words that the apostles used when they preached and when they taught were words that were given to them by the Holy Spirit. They didn't have thought inspiration. They didn't have partial inspiration, as some people think. They were totally inspired, down to the point where the very words that they used in their teaching and preaching were given to them by the Spirit. But we have this idea of God revealing his mind by the Spirit to the apostles, and then they taught. They taught with words. But they didn't just teach and preach verbally. They did some writing as well. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians, the third chapter, and at verse 1, Paul says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation." That's inspiration, isn't it? The Spirit was involved in that. He says, "I have written briefly." When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men and to other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit. That goes along with John 14, 15, and 16, doesn't it? And so the Spirit revealed to the holy apostles and to the prophets of the New Testament. He revealed those words from Christ that were given to him from the Father. And now Paul says here, he has written it down. And when you read, you can now understand the mystery. He's talking about the gospel of Christ. It was hidden before, but now it has been revealed. Now we can have it. But again, they did some writing. And what they wrote, not only Paul, but the other holy apostles and prophets of the New Testament, when they did some writing, that writing was inspired because they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we end up having today, what they wrote, the Bible. And this is how God speaks to us. I'm glad I'm a member of a church that teaches that. I'm glad that those of you who are faithful members of this church believe that, because that's the truth. The fact of the matter is, there is no later day revelation. God is no longer communicating by inspired men. Now he's communicating by an inspired book, and that's the only way that he's communicating. And that goes along with the scripture reading that Joe read for us a few moments ago. Turn back over there to the book of Jude. Verse 3, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I have found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Once for all. Vines tells us, I think Thayer as well, that the word "once" there means once for all time, never needing repetition. When the faith was finally delivered, it didn't have to be delivered ever again. It was complete. That's why Foy Wallace, as you have heard me quote, I'm sure, many times before, it's why Foy Wallace said, "When the last apostle laid down his pen and stilled his tongue, revelation was complete." And if revelation is complete, why do we need more? If all the truth has been revealed, why are we waiting for more truth? If you want to know the truth, open up your Bibles and read the Word of God. That's where you go to discover it. And that's the only place you can go to discover the truth, God's Word. And so, when men get up again and say God is speaking to them, when they make that claim in any form or fashion, they're simply not telling the truth. And I know that many people have sincerely put their trust and confidence in these kind of men and women. But they're being led astray. If you're here tonight and visiting with us, maybe you're a member of a congregation or a church that subscribes to that sort of thing. I'm telling you, you're being led astray. Because God doesn't communicate like that. And that's not just my opinion. We've looked at the passages. We see that God has spoken. We see whom he has spoken to, his son. We have seen what his son has done with those words the Father gave him, gave them to the apostles. We've seen that they are guided by the Holy Spirit unto all truth. We have seen that they did some teaching and they did some writing. And what we have is that writing today, the Bible. That's how God speaks to us today, through his word. And the fact of the matter is, all claims of later day revelation are bogus. Individuals, for the most part, are just lying about it. I don't know what their motives are for lying. A lot of these preachers have been caught in lies. They have said things that simply aren't truth. And they've contradicted themselves, and they've been called on it. They've been caught on tape, so on and so forth. And a lot of times they'll come up with excuse. Believe it or not, they can, in their own mind, justify even lying. Just like with the idea of miracles, as I think I stated when we were dealing with miracles, that sometimes with the miracle, and by the way, the same preachers who claim they can perform miracles are the ones who are claiming that God is speaking to them today. And with the miracles, this is just a fact. Sometimes they'll plant people in the audience and claim that they are healing them, and they've been caught doing that. And they justify it by saying, well, that's just a way to get the people to have faith. Because without faith, they'll never believe in the miracles and the great power of God. And so we plant these people to help them with their faith. And that makes sense to them. That's dishonest, isn't it? But to them, that makes sense. They can justify almost anything. Even the preacher that gets up and he knows God's not speaking to him, and yet he still claims that God is speaking to him, somehow he can justify that in his own mind. But the fact of the matter is, they're just not telling the truth. And it causes chaos and confusion and silliness. I have some quotes here that I just want to quote very quickly. A lot of times, when I deal in detail with the Holy Spirit, I will put this up on the screen, but I just made a copy of it. And listen to some of these quotes. This is Morris Cirillo. He is a TV evangelist. He used to appear a lot on TBN Network. I don't know if he does still or not. I'm not even quite sure if TBN is still going on. It most likely is a very powerful network, but he appeared on them. This individual, he claimed, first of all, that his background, he came out of a Jewish orphanage. He was led out of that by two angelical beings, he claims. And he claims that God speaks to him. And so he said in one place, "Would you surrender your pocketbooks to me?" said God. "Let me be the Lord of your pocketbooks. Yea, so be thou obedient unto my voice." God was speaking to him. What if I stood up before you and said that? "Will you surrender to me your pocketbooks?" I bet I probably wouldn't get anyone to do that. That's why I'm glad I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Because you've been taught better than that. But there's a lot of people who haven't been taught better than that. And so what do you think they do? They open up their wallet. Sometimes they'll give their life savings to these kind of people. It's a sad situation. I know of many cases where individuals who are in poverty will give thousands of dollars to these TV evangelists who are flying around in private jets because they believe when a man like this says, "Surrender your pocketbook to me," that that's God speaking through him. Because once you subscribe to that sort of thing, it's just, what do you do? You're at their mercy. Someone says, "What about Paul? Didn't Paul claim that God spoke to him?" Yes, but then he verified it. He confirmed it by genuine miracles that could not be denied. But these TV evangelists, won't do that. Even these local preachers and these charismatic churches that claim that they're being led by the Holy Spirit, they won't do that. They'll perform miracles in staged situations. But you, one of them, they claim that God is speaking to them, and you approach them afterwards and say, "Prove it, verify your word, confirm your word." They did it with signs following. They won't do it because they can't do it. And so you have things like this. I don't have it on this paper, but I've often talked about it. Some of you have been in classes that I've taught where, with regard to these two churches. I think it was Newsweek magazine years ago revealed two denominational churches where one of the church, and one was a Lutheran church, who sold some property to another church. And the other church who bought the property from the Lutheran, they just decided not to make payments on the property. And they said, "We don't have to make payments because the property already belonged to God and we're children of God. And so why should we make payment for that which belongs to us?" So they quit making the payment. The Lutheran said, well, God didn't say anything about that to us. That's the mess that you're in. How do you prove that they're not, once you believe that sort of thing, how do you prove? Like you almost have to accept what the preacher gets up and says. And they all say things that really are quite ridiculous. Kenneth Copeland, who has been very popular for probably 40 years now or more. He's a self-proclaimed apostle himself, though he doesn't meet, obviously, the qualifications of an apostle. He claims to be one. And he claims in his preaching and teaching that he is being guided by the Holy Spirit. He has claimed on more than one occasion that God speaks directly to him. Here's an excerpt of some of his teaching. He says, the Bible said that he, that is God, measured the heaven with a 9-inch span. Now, the span is the distance between the end of the thumb and the end of the little finger. Well, I got a ruler and I measured mine, and my span's 8 3/4 inches long. So now, God's span is 1/4 inch longer than mine. So you see that the faith didn't come billowing out of some giant monster somewhere. It came from the heart of a being that is very uncanny, the way he is very much like you and me. A being that stands somewhere around 6'2", 6'3", and that weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of 100 pounds. I bet you never knew God was 6'2", did you? That's the kind of teaching you get from, he claimed that God was speaking through him. It's all bogus. I can go on, and I got 2 pages here. I won't read it all. Well, I have to get Benny Hinn out here. Benny Hinn is hugely popular, even still, among evangelicals. And at the same time, he gets so carried away sometimes that even evangelicals are embarrassed. But listen to what he says. He is what we refer to as prosperity preacher. He thinks that you ought to be rich. And in fact, if you're not, if instead you're struggling financially, that's of the devil. And if you just had a little more faith, you know, enough faith to send him some money. If you just had a little more faith, you can be rescued from your poverty. And God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be rich. There are a lot of preachers like that in this group, the Word Faith group. And they are the same. Flying around in private jets and being driven around in limousines and have mansions in 2 or 3 different cities around the country. But their message is real positive. And particularly with people who are struggling financially, it just sounds good that, boy, if I just have a little more faith, if I just pray a little harder, trust in God a little more, I can get out of this financial crisis that I'm in. And all I have to do is send Morris or Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or one of the others a little bit of money. That's a scam, ladies and gentlemen. It just is. Now, here's Benny Hinn. He, too, again, he claims that he's a man of God who God speaks through with regard to the Spirit, but he's a prosperity preacher. And so he says Adam had complete dominion over the earth and all it contains. And he's basically saying we can sort of be like Adam as long as we have the right kind of faith. But he says Adam had complete dominion over the earth and all it contains. Adam can fly like a bird. Adam could swim underwater and breathe like a fish. Adam went to the moon. Adam walked on water. Adam was a super being. He was the first Superman that lived. Adam had dominion over the sun, moon, and stars. I bet you didn't know Adam has been to the moon. And that was God speaking through him, he claims. That's why I said a while ago, it just gets down to silliness. And that's what happens. And people buy into that. And people are led and guided by that. And you end up having the blind following the blind. And what happens in the end, they both fall into the ditch. I'm glad that I'm a member of a church that teaches the truth about how God communicates to us and where we go to find God's will and how we can understand exactly how he wants us to live, what work he wants us to do, how we are to worship him. It's not guess. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to just rely on some man somewhere. We can open up the book. We can open up the Bible and see it for ourselves, because that's where it's found. Because God speaks to us through the Bible and through the Bible alone. The faith has been once delivered. I'm glad to be a part of a church who understands that and teaches that and allows its practices to be governed by that truth. Are you a member of the Church of Christ? This is just one small thing. We, as I said earlier, we've talked about God's plan of salvation. Many churches don't teach the truth. If you're a part of a church that says all you have to do is have faith and you'll go to heaven, you're a member of a church you don't read about in the Bible. If you're a member of a church that says you before you can be saved, you have to be put on a period of probation, you're not a member of a church that you read about in the Bible. If you are a member of a church that says if you want to be saved, you have to experience a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're not a member of the church you read about in the Bible. Because the church we read about in the Bible doesn't teach all of that. The church we read about in the Bible says if you want to be saved, you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to be saved, you have to repent. You have to have a change of heart. You have to be buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. You can do that this very night. And you can become a member of the church you read about in the Bible. Why not tonight? Why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And then stay with the truth all the days of your life. Revelation 2 and at verse 10. Be faithful unto death. Then you will receive a crown of life. I hope you do the right thing. Come forward as we together stand and sing.